Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with a short article on Medicare Made Easy from AARP The Bulletin. Does Medicare cover weight loss drugs? I've heard that it might. Medicare does not, at this point, cover medications used only for weight loss, but confusion has grown with newer GLP-1 drugs, which help with weight loss but are approved for other conditions, too. Some of these drugs may be covered under your Medicare Part D plan, but only if prescribed for an approved medical reason, such as treating type 2 diabetes, heart disease, or sleep apnea, not just for losing weight. Instead of relying solely on the list of covered drugs, you'll want to call your drug plan to see if the one you're looking for is covered and for what conditions. They can also tell you if the drug requires prior authorization or has other restrictions. I just lost my job but was offered COBRA coverage from my old employer. Should I take it? I'm 67 years old and already have Medicare Part A. The Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, or COBRA, is a federal law that lets you temporarily keep your health work insurance after you leave your job. However, COBRA can be expensive because you normally must pay the full price for the coverage, plus an administrative fee. Since you already have Part A, you can enroll in the COBRA plan. But keep in mind that Medicare will be your main insurance, and COBRA will provide secondary coverage. You have an 8-month window to sign up for Part B. It's a good idea to enroll right away to make sure you are fully insured and to avoid late penalties and gaps in coverage. Be sure to check with your former employer to see if its COBRA drug coverage is as good as Medicare Part D. If it is, you do not need to enroll in a Medicare drug plan. It would be wise to speak with a state health insurance assistance program counselor to determine if COBRA is the best choice for you and your family. Next, I'm going to AARP, the magazine. We have an article called Money Saver, and it's a quiz. How much do you know about inflation? Take this quiz to test your knowledge and gain a greater understanding of what we can't stop griping about. This is by George Manis. 1. The Consumer Price Index, CPI, measures the overall change in the prices of nearly everything Americans buy. A 5% annual inflation rate implies that the goods and services you bought for $100 a year ago would cost you $105 if you bought them today. What was the annual inflation rate in August, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, which calculates the CPI? Do you think it was 2.9%, 3.2%, 5.1%, or 9.1%? The answer is 2.9%. 9.1% is from June 2022 and is the highest U.S. annual inflation rate recorded in the past 40 years. Number 2. When people complain about inflation and rising prices, certain items tend to sit atop their list of expenses. As of August, which of these things has had the largest cost increase over the past 5 years? Grade A eggs, unleaded regular gasoline, car insurance, rent, or medical care? Well, that one's pretty easy. Eggs. The cost of grade A dozen rose 170% from August 2020 to August 2025. Motor vehicle insurance was up 60%, regular unleaded gas 45%, and rent almost 28%. Medical care rose only 11.6%, but the BLS isn't measuring out-of-pocket costs. Those rose about 18% per person, from 2020 to 2022 alone, according to the Peterson KFF Health System Tracker. Number three, the U.S. inflation rate is neither the highest nor the lowest in the world. Match each of these countries to its latest reported consumer inflation rate. So I'm going to match them as we go along. Brazil was 5.1. China was minus 0.4. Germany is 2.2. Nigeria, 21.9. Russia, 8.1. And Ukraine, 13.2. The BLS warns that this index for older Americans has shortcomings, such as not necessarily reflecting where they shop. That was the answer to the next one. But the one that I gave you was the correct percentages for each country. So number four. In 1987, the BLS began estimating the cost of living for Americans age 52 and up, who tend to spend more money than younger adults do on health care and housing. Over the past 10 years, the inflation rate for all Americans has averaged 3.1% on an annualized basis. What has been the measured rate for older Americans? Well, that, as I said, was 3.2%. The BLS warns that this index for older Americans has shortcomings, such as not necessarily reflecting where they shop, as I said previously. Next is when inflation was below 3% in mid to late 2024, the U.S. Census Bureau asked households how stressed they were about rising prices over the prior 2 months. About 21% of people with incomes over $200,000 said they were very stressed. What was the percentage of people with incomes of $50,000 to $75,000 who were very stressed? And the answer to that is 49%. The figure is 59% for households with incomes less than $25,000. As Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas researchers explain, inflation tends to hit low-income households the hardest, partly because a greater share of their income goes toward higher inflation necessities such as food, gas, and rent. Next, shrinkflation is when a product becomes more expensive because there's less of it and a new package sold for the same old price. Think fewer paper towels per roll or 12 ounces per can of coffee instead of 16. From 2019 through 2023, for which of these items did shrinkflation contribute most to its rising cost? Was it cleaning products, coffee, paper products, or snacks? And the answer to that is paper products. The good news, says the BLS, although shrinkflation may grab your attention, it has a 0.01% impact on the inflation rate. Then we have true or false. If you have a fixed rate mortgage and inflation starts to rise, it's a financial win for your bank. And that is false. When prices rise, each dollar you repay your lender is worth less than it was when you got your loan. You, the borrower, benefit in a way from inflation. As your other expenses rise, your fixed monthly payments cost you relatively less. And finally, number eight, a 2025 study found that people who had seen or heard news stories about higher prices raised their estimates of how bad future inflation would be by 0.4 percentage points. How did people change their inflation estimates when exposed to stories about lower prices? A, they lowered their inflation estimates a lot, they lowered them a little, or they hardly changed them at all. And the answer is, they hardly changed them at all. Regarding inflation, Americans appear to be pessimists. Now, since we're talking about money, let's stay in AARP, the magazine, and look at Money Saver, 9 smart financial fixes you can tackle in an hour. It doesn't take long to save money and protect yourself against fraud. And this is by Daniel Bortz. Shoring up your finances doesn't have to mean hours of slogging through statements, investments, and bills. You have ways to improve your situation quickly. Got 60 spare minutes? Make that time pay off by taking on one or more of these simple tasks. 1. Check your credit report. A recent survey from the nonprofit's Consumer Reports and Work Money found that 44% of respondents who checked their credit reports spotted at least one error. Mistakes such as a bill you paid being marked as outstanding could be dragging down your credit score. Finding an unfamiliar account could help you uncover potential fraud, too. Accounts that don't belong to you are a major red flag, says Ted Rossman, a credit card analyst at Bankrate. This could be identity theft or a mix-up, such as someone with a similar name. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get a free copy of your credit report from each of the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, or you can call 877-322-8228. That number again is 877-322-8228. Put your credit on ice. Freezing your credit prevents credit bureaus from releasing financial information to third parties, making it harder for identity thieves to open accounts in your name. And you are a juicy target. Older Americans have often achieved higher credit scores, Rossman says, but because they're not applying for as many loans, fraud could go undetected for longer periods of time. You can request a freeze for free, online or by phone in minutes, by contacting each of the three credit bureaus. It's simple to temporarily lift a credit freeze so that you can open a legitimate account. 3. Sign up for an IRS Identity Protection PIN. People ages 65 to 74 are at greater risk of large financial losses from tax-related scams, a 2025 survey by McAfee found. An Identity Protection, IP, PIN can help protect your taxpayer data from cybercriminals. To obtain an IP PIN, register for an account with the IRS. Visit irs.gov/IPPIN to get started. Once you verify your identity, you'll receive a 6-digit number to use when filing your taxes, and you'll get a new IP PIN each year. This will provide taxpayers with the peace of mind that come tax time, no one else is claiming a refund in their name, says Carl Breedlove, a research analyst at the Tax Institute at H&R Block. 4, download a few grocery store apps. By downloading a supermarket's mobile app and signing up for its loyalty program, you get access to special deals and digital coupons. Grocery store apps are one of the most underrated savings tools, says Stephanie Carls, a retail trends analyst at the coupon site Retail Me Not. Shop at several grocery stores? You might download Flip, a free app that lets you select multiple supermarkets and browse their circulars. Participating stores include Aldi, Food Lion, Harris Teeter, and Wegmans. Apps like Checkout 51, that's the numbers 5-1, Ibotta, I-B-O-T-T-A, and Receipt Hog let you earn cash back by submitting receipts on purchases from certain supermarkets. 5. Shop for cheaper auto insurance. Car insurance inflation isn't going away. The cost of motor vehicle insurance was up 4.7% year after year in August, or year over year, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Prices can vary among providers, so it pays to get several offers before renewing your policy. To speed up your insurance shopping, consider getting multiple quotes using a comparison site such as Insurify, that's Insurify, Policy Genius, or The Zebra. All the policies that you review should have the same types and amount of coverage, says Loretta Waters, spokesperson for the Insurance Information Institute. It is difficult to compare policies. For instance, if one provides $50,000 in property damage liability coverage and another only $30,000. 6. Apply for a low-interest balance transfer card. Nearly half of adults age 50 and up carry credit card debt, a recent AARP survey found. Moving high-interest credit card debt to a balance transfer credit card with a low introductory interest rate, perhaps even 0%, could save you a lot if you pay off the balance before the introductory rate expires. Signing up for a 0% balance transfer card is my favorite credit card payoff tip, Russman says. Many balance transfer cards applications take less than 20 minutes, but you typically need a credit score of about 670 or higher to qualify. Recent options include the U.S. Bank Shield Visa, which offers 0% interest on balance transfers and new purchases for 24 months, the Wells Fargo Reflect with 0% interest on balance transfers and new purchases for 21 months, and the AARP Essentials Rewards MasterCard and AARP Travel Rewards MasterCard from Barclays, both of which offer 0% interest on balance transfers for 15 months. With all of these cards, you will pay a fee of 5% on each transfer. Number 7. Search for unclaimed assets. About 1 in 7 Americans have unclaimed cash or property, according to the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators, NAUPA. Unclaimed property can be anything from forgotten checking accounts, payroll checks, insurance payments, even the contents of a safe deposit box, says Sean Snyder, CEO of the National Association of State Treasurers. You can go to missingmoney.com to find unclaimed property in states where you've lived or worked. In one shot, you can search 49 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. To search Hawaii, visit hawaii.gov. The free website provided by NAWPA also contains a national index with direct links and contact information for each state's official unclaimed property program. Number 8. Create an email account for shopping promotions. Signing up for promotions, newsletters, and other email communication from retailers where you shop regularly can get you many deals and discounts. But those emails could be flooding your inbox and tempting you to spend money on things you don't really need. A better approach is to set up another email address specifically for shopping. Creating a separate email for shopping promotions is one of those small moves that can lead to big savings, Carl says. It keeps your main inbox clutter-free while giving you first dibs on deals, exclusive codes, and early sale alerts from your favorite retailers. It's a smart way to stay in the know without the constant temptation to shop every time you check your regular email. And finally, get online access to your Social Security information. In case you haven't done so already, go to ssa.gov/myaccount to set up an online My Social Security account. You can use the account for a number of different tasks, including requesting a replacement Social Security card, changing direct deposit information, and printing out your annual SSA 1099 form. To avoid scams, don't share your account credentials or log in authentication code with anybody. And here we have a sidebar, 1 hour strategies for making money. Consider these quick ways to raise extra cash. Unload a gift card. You can sell at a discount to face value unused gift cards and store credit on marketplaces like CardCash, GCX, gift card outlets, and gift cash. Some marketplaces, however, don't accept gift cards that have expiration dates. Trade in a gadget. Some retailers offer gift cards or store credit for used electronics, including laptops, tablets, cell phones, streaming media players, and wireless routers. Amazon, Best Buy, Costco, Sam's Club, Staples, Target, and Walmart all operate such trade-in programs. And use your typing skills. Transcribe audio and video recordings of phone calls, conference meetings, and courtroom hearings for companies like Go Transit, Rev, and Speechpad. Payments is usually a flat rate for each minute of the recording you transcribe. Now, on another subject, will Max be okay without her? A school teacher worries about what will happen to her adult son with autism. Jean Chatsky to the rescue. The problem. Leaving a legacy for a child with special needs is not easy. That's why Leslie Gerari, 66, a retired New York teacher, reached out to me. Her son Max, diagnosed with autism 25 years ago at the age of 5, lives with her in a co-op apartment. He can't hold down a full-time job. Leslie, newly worried about shrinking government assistance, wants to be sure that when she dies, she'll leave enough money for Max to be well cared for in their home. I need his plan to be bulletproof, she says, so that no one can misappropriate the money. The advice. Preserving assets for people with disabilities is fraught. It requires trusts and accounts that support them but don't disqualify them from receiving government benefits. For help, I turned to Minnie Niera, a New Jersey-based financial advisor, and Andrew Cohen, a New York estate planning lawyer, both of whom work with clients who have disabilities. Leslie had three specific questions for them. Could she invest money left to Max by his grandmother? Special needs trusts hold money that can be used for expenses not covered by government benefits, like education and travel. Max's late grandmother set up such a trust with $26,000 and named Leslie the trustee, giving her control over how the money is used for Max's benefit. As trustee, says Cohen, Leslie has not only the power but also the duty to invest the money, which has sat in the original checking account for years. But Leslie said financial advisors had told her the $26,000 didn't meet their client minimums. Niera suggested she open a trust account at Fidelity, Schwab, or Vanguard, all of which have no minimums for trust accounts, unless the firm is the trustee. And that she put the money in a balanced or all-in-one exchange-traded fund or index mutual fund for easy diversification. Who are the best long-term trustees? Leslie has established a separate trust for Max that will hold life insurance proceeds, the title to her apartment, and any other assets remaining after her death. But she worries about who will succeed her as trustee. Niera suggested working with a nonprofit such as the ARC, the AHHRC, NYC Foundation, or Cumberland Trust, all of which operate trusts for people with disabilities. Leslie would then name a friend or family member as a trust protector to preserve her vision for Max. Some of these organizations keep assets for multiple beneficiaries in one investment pool, but Leslie could have the ARC manage Max's trust separately, giving her and her successor more control over its investments. Will Max have enough money for the life Leslie wants for him? To answer that, Niera studied Leslie's finances. Her assets, an untapped annuity of $220,000, a $250,000 insurance policy, and her $440,000 home. Her liabilities, $23,000 in credit card debt, and a $130,000 mortgage. Niera estimates that Leslie, who works part-time as a substitute teacher, could spare $1,000 to $3,000 of her cash flow per month, depending on fluctuating health care expenses. Leslie should pay off the credit card debt with that money, Niera said, then build up an emergency cash fund and a savings account. If Leslie and Max's medical costs rise significantly, she may have to tap her annuity. But even if she does, there should be enough money to support Max. The outcome? I'm absolutely going to pay down the credit card debt first, Leslie said. Then she'll split her savings between an emergency account and, to help cover apartment maintenance, the trust she set up. She will also explore the ARC. Leslie feels good now about Max's future. When I was younger, my answer was, I'll just keep working, she says. To have a plan is a lot better. Now, with the time we have left, let's look at a little bit of This Is 70. Catching up with Cyndi Lauper. Singer, songwriter, and actress Cyndi Lauper, 72, recently wrapped up her 10-month Girls Just Want to Have Fun farewell tour. And there's more fun to come, including her induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last November. Lauper recently spoke with AARP about starting out, what she misses from the 1980s, and more. What would you tell somebody starting in the business today? Answer, that it's going to take a village to do what you dream, and that, unfortunately, you think you're just going to create this thing, but you can't create it alone. That was a hard one to learn. What do you miss about the 80s? Answer, the club scene now is gone. I miss that. I miss the nurturing of young talent, new talent, and they don't have that now. It's on TikTok, and it's hard because you don't learn performance. What do you do for fun? I try and have fun every day, whether it's going on a walk with my husband or going to see a movie or going to a museum with him or looking at fashion or whatever it is, and laughing. I like to laugh a lot. And who's the leader of the club? If those words automatically trigger memories of chanting M-I-C-K-E-Y, then you too must have once owned a set of oversized black mouse ears. On October 3, 1955, the Mickey Mouse Club premiered on ABC television. The cast included Annette Funicello, later to star in films like Beach Blanket Bingo. And did you know that Henry Winkler turned 80 last October? Barry and Happy Days actor hosts Hazardous History on the History Channel now. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I certainly hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.